You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We have a great show for you yet again, folks. Reshma Mehta, VP of Campaigns for AARP, joins us from Washington, D.C. to talk about what's going on with Social Security, what is fact, what is fiction, and what AARP is doing to protect this vital program. But before we get to her, ladies and gentlemen, as always, you know, we like to start a little informally here at AARP Without Limits. However, I am not joined by our producer here at WPTF and Curtis Media, Mr. Mike Davis. He is out on some sort of spring break or vacation or something. He's not here, in other words. And so I'm actually recording this program remotely, not from the comfortable studios of Curtis Media, but from my dining room. And so this is a little odd. Definitely doesn't have the same kind of energy, and I'm essentially talking to myself right now, though knowing that you're all going to be listening to it and enjoying it very soon after. Couple of words I do want to share, because I always want to start on an informal note with the program here. You know, there's nothing more, or should I say less interesting to me than a program that might be really informative, but just really, really stuffy. You know, you need the human element, you need personal stories, you need anecdotes, you need sort of the casual, loose around the collar conversation and thought process or thoughts that, you know, just sort of make for a bit more interesting program. That's something we try to strive for here at the program. So as I mentioned, I'm working from home right now. Mike Davis is out on vacation. And this week, I'm actually getting ready to kick off a very enjoyable week with my kids. They're on their spring break from school. We're going to be going to a lake house with some friends and their parents and all of that for a few days. And typically, I'd say, you know, it's a little too cold to be going to a lake in North Carolina, you know, being the first week of April. However, this week, it's going to be up to 90 degrees and sunny. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. Definitely wasn't expecting that type of warm weather at this point. But, you know, we're going to take what we can get here. Looks like they've got jet skis there at this Airbnb and a boat and all sorts of good stuff. A tanning deck up on top of a little boathouse they have there. And it sounds like we're really going to be living it up here. But mainly I'm just looking forward to having the chance to be able to kick back, get away from work a little bit, enjoy time with my kids and our friends, and kind of welcome in the warmer weather. However, looking at the topic that we've got for the show today, protecting Social Security, I'd feel like I'd be doing a little disservice to the topic if I didn't begin with just a couple of thoughts about how Social Security has been in the news. And we're going to get into some real details about what's been going on and AARP's response to that when we talk to Reshma here momentarily. But you know, a lot of what we are hearing right now, we are hearing because of the efforts from DOGE, the Department of Governmental Efficiency, led by Elon Musk, and some of the, I guess, informal, unofficial commentary or statements that he's making on various channels, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's being interviewed on, you know, television, cable TV, or what have you. And there are a couple of things that were mentioned that I think have made national headlines and certainly have been making the rounds around social media. One of them has to do with his statements that that Social Security is a giant Ponzi scheme or something like the greatest Ponzi scheme of all time. And naturally, you know, an organization like AARP, which isn't going to weigh in on Elon Musk per se, obviously we take great offense to the characterization of this program, which has been around for 90 years now, has never had a year where checks weren't going out to everybody who needs to be getting them, as a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi schemes, by definition, are people are paying in and then they're getting paid out to other people. And there are other people who are getting, you know, the short end of the stick. They're not getting what they are deserved. That has never happened with Social Security. I don't know of a single Ponzi scheme that's ever been out there where it took 90 years of a successful record to finally get to the point where people aren't going to get what they deserve. And so, I think you can call a lot of things Ponzi schemes out there. Social Security, I would say, is definitely not one of them. And certainly, I think people who've been getting Social Security checks every month know that that's not true at all. Also want to highlight something as an example, because there are a lot of comparisons that are made of Social Security, not just to a Ponzi scheme, but to other types of retirement vehicles that are out there where you could be, you know, getting greater return. And sure, that's true. If you, you know, have an annuity that's been invested properly, you definitely could be getting a lot more bang for your buck back. However, you could be outliving where Social Security you cannot. You have survivor's benefits and disability insurance that Social Security provides. And then also during an economic downturn, we see what's been happening with 401ks recently in the stock market. If you look back to 2008, 2009, what happened to Social Security back when the market tanked? Do you remember, folks? I can tell you, I remember. I remember what happened to my 401k too. I lost nearly 40% of my 401k savings due to that downturn back there in 2009. What happened to Social Security? Well, for 2 years, there was no COLA, cost of living adjustment, which is the, you know, the bump that you get in your Social Security from year to year. For 2 years, there wasn't. That was pretty much the extent of it. As opposed to, again, what was going on in the private financial sector. And so Social Security is really, really important. It is a promise that this country has made to its people. It's been around for 90 years. And again, it's something that absolutely needs to be protected. The other thing I want to quickly mention, something Musk said, which was kind of interesting, anxiously awaiting some more details, but in an interview recently, he said that at the end of the day here with Social Security, beneficiaries are going to be getting more money. And he said, take it to the bank or, you know, play the tape back and when this is all done. Not sure what he means by that. Anxious to hear some details. And just for the record, AARP does support changing the indexing of Social Security to something called the CPIE, which is in what they call the elderly index, which factors in certain things like the cost of prescription drugs, which older Americans rely more and more on as part of their living expenses. And so more money for Social Security beneficiaries, absolutely. How exactly that's done, we're not sure. And, our understanding is, we do know Social Security, the Social Security Trust Fund is facing a shortfall beginning in 2033. If nothing is done, Social Security is only going to be able to pay out about 78 cents on the dollar. And so I think any savings that are found in Social Security, fraud or anything else that might be there under the surface that we don't know about, should be put into the trust fund to shore it up, to make sure that people are getting 100% of what they are owed and not just 78%. So that is the priority for sure. But let's get into some more details in terms of, what's going on with the Social Security Administration. It's been in the news quite a bit with respect to services being cut, with offices being cut. New requirements requiring people to go in service for things that they were previously able to do over the phone. Whole lot to get into. And so I'm very happy to welcome to the program for the very first time my old friend Reshma Mehta, who is the VP of campaigns for AARP. Reshma, so good to have you with us.
It's so good to see you, Mike.
Now, as I was mentioning in my intro of you earlier, you and I go a little bit back, actually ways back, back in New York City office of AARP. Yeah. You did not work for the New York State office. You had another role. What role were you in back then?
Yes, I've always worked for the AARP National Office, but I was going to grad school in New York City, and you guys were kind enough to give me a desk in the AARP New York office. And so I feel like I was a auxiliary part of the team. I helped to like hang out with your volunteers and stuff envelopes and do all the things back in the day.
That's right. Yeah. And that was going back when did you start at AARP?
I just finished 20 years, believe it or not. I began 2004. Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations. I'm approaching that. I'm on my 18th year, just about to
get to.
You've
come a long way, Mike.
We have, for sure. Look at us now, right? So let's get into the good stuff. There's been a whirlwind of activity there in Washington since Inauguration Day. But before we get into Social Security, I'd like to start with what started back in January, which was this beginning of DOGE, these major cuts and mass firings of affecting a number of federal agencies. We saw here in North Carolina how organizations were being affected. And I'm just curious, to date, have any of the DOGE efforts affected AARP's work in any way, you know, nationally there in D.C., if not directly, indirectly?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, I would say it's been such a kind of confusing and ever-changing daily environment these past few months. You know, our job at AARP, I think folks know that we're proudly nonpartisan, and our job is to do right by our members, regardless of who's holding office, whether it's here in Washington, D.C., you know, at the state gubernatorial level, or anywhere else, you know, and we have done that for every year of AARP's existence, right? Working with both sides of the aisle to get the job done and make sure our members are protected and no harm is done to them. And so even though things feel so sort of swirly right now, in some ways our job remains the same, right? Is that we really have to just kind of stay clear-eyed and focused and do right by our members. And so shortly after Inauguration Day, there was an executive order to create DOGE. And really, if you look at sort of like what the group is tasked with, it's modernizing federal technology and software, maximizing government efficiency and productivity. And shortly after they were created, DOGE began working at SSA. At that point, we began hearing from kind of a steady drumbeat from our membership from around the country, really around two main themes, right? Number one, around you know, making sure that they receive their payments on time, and number two, about the safety of their personal data, because of course SSA holds critical personal data about almost every American. And so our goal has been that we're fighting on behalf of our members to protect Social Security, and we remain steadfast in that commitment that older Americans see no disruptions in their payment, that they, in their payments, that they have access to the customer service they need to get their questions answered, and that they receive any information they need about changes at SSA. You know, I think our members, we hear from them strongly, doesn't matter what their personal politics are, whether they're on the left or right side of the aisle, they all really believe strongly in Social Security. You know, they worked hard for their money, they paid in their whole working life, and they want to see their money protected. They want to get what's owed to them, you know, when they turn Social Security age. And, you know, we also hear from them that a lot of them want to root out any waste, fraud, and abuse, right? So I think there's a way to sort of balance both those concerns and make sure that, you know, there were, you know, AARP has always kind of stood against waste and fraud. But we also want to make sure that Social Security is, of course, 100% strongly protected. So we have really taken an AARP and all hands on deck approach these past couple months. We are engaging with SSA leadership, with lawmakers, we're with the administration, we're educating decision makers and the public on the importance of Social Security to older Americans and what the toll the customer service cuts or the closure of field offices could have on real Americans. And we're encouraging our members to join our advocacy and join our fight. Our AARP members have, between their emails to Congress, their letters, their phone calls, signing petitions, they've taken over 1.5 million actions just in the past, I think it was since March 7th, expressing some of their concerns around some of the, you know, rapid changes at SSA, around the changes to phone service, the potential closure of field offices. And, you know, again, our bottom line is what's the impact on real Americans who have worked hard and deserve to kind of have that assurance that they're going to get their Social Security check on time and they're going to have access to the customer service they need.
In recent years, AARP has been advocating for the Social Security Administration to work to improve wait times on the phone. And I've been reading, you know, media reports saying that wait times, you know, we did have them down to about 20 minutes or so for most callers. Now we're hearing these stories of people waiting 3 hours, 4 hours, even 5 hours to get through. Are you hearing the same thing? Is it that bad?
Yeah. So, so some of these changes that the SSA announced are coming at a time when the agencies are already grappling with these significant customer service issues and historically low staffing levels. So as you said, you know, the wait times were actually improving, right? They were getting shorter. And now we see them creeping back up again. And we hear, I know this is anecdotal, but I get emails from members around the country saying, hey, I have to wait 2 hours or the next appointment wasn't until May. So there is some just really, you know, unacceptable levels of customer service happening again. And these are folks who, you know, these are seniors, they earn their Social Security and they deserve to get their questions answered without having to jump through these crazy hoops, right? So we're hearing that callers are reporting they're struggling to get through, to navigate the new phone system. More than half give up without ever speaking to anyone. And those who request a callback are waiting on average more than 2 hours for a return call. And then compounding with that, the SSA recently announced a 12% reduction in their workforce and a host of office closures, right? So all of this together means that the existing customer service situation is likely to worsen and it'll mean even longer wait times and reduced access to in-person services.
Yeah, and this is extraordinary, Reshma. As you know, AARP members, older Americans in general, when they call an agency like the Social Security Administration, they want to speak to a person. They don't want to interact with an AI or something at the end of this. They want to have that human contact. They want to feel like they were heard. They want to have assurances that their issue is being resolved. And I think, like you said, I think we all would agree that making government more efficient is a goal, and we should all find ways of doing that. But then there's also the practical and pragmatic application of these things, which means you have people who may be distrustful, rightfully so, of certain technology and confused by it. And they just simply need that simple old school human connection in order to be able to get their issue resolved. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, we're going to continue our conversation with Reshma. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a recommendation, or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Reshma Mehta. She's the VP of Campaigns at AARP's national office. Reshma, you mentioned before the break how AARP has been engaging its members and the public on the Social Security Administration issues here. Can you get into a bit more detail about that? How has AARP been taking grassroots action to communicate concerns about these issues?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. You know, we've heard from thousands of our members, and again, this is both sides of the aisle, who are concerned about Social Security. You know, they've paid in, they've earned their Social Security after a lifetime of hard work, and they expect assurance that their checks are going to arrive on time and that they're going to receive that top-notch customer service that they deserve. And so we began a huge push about a month ago, around March 7th, really pushing folks to contact their members of Congress and send them a clear message that Social Security must be protected. If you want to take action, the URL is action.aarp.org/Social Security. And that's going to take you to a page where you can directly email your senators and your representative. Again, this is a nonpartisan message, but it's urging Congress not to cut Social Security phone services, right? And this decision happened with almost no notice and no public input, right? They implemented a new policy. It'll force older Americans to drive to a Social Security office to complete simple paperwork that previously folks were able to do over the phone. And this is going to hurt a lot of Americans, especially those in rural areas who may have to drive hours to their nearest office, especially if some of them are closing, or those with mobility challenges, or those without internet access. Instead of being able to call Social Security, now they have to drive to a physical location, take time off work simply to access their Social Security benefits. And we find that completely unacceptable. And so again, action.aarp.org/Social Security. It's very easy, and you can send a quick message urging Congress not to cut Social Security phone services. And as kind of a final note, your grassroots advocacy is already working. Originally, that phone service was supposed to shut off March 31st. They now have delayed implementing that change for 2 weeks. So now it's not shutting off until April 14th. So the good news is that, you know, lawmakers are listening to your voices. So as long as we keep raising them, we can keep hopefully seeing some change.
Okay, thank you for sharing that, Reshma. And yeah, that's something we've been hearing here in North Carolina, too. And again, it's people across the political spectrum, because when it comes to the Social Security, sort of all bets are off in terms of who you vote for. You know, at the end of the day, you've got to have that reliable service. You need the Social Security checks coming in. Here in North Carolina, for example, the rumors and reports, actually, of how Social Security Administration offices were going to be affected was devastating. At 37 offices across the state here, we know of 4 of them that are likely or could be closed. We heard reports of up to 20 of them being closed, and then that's been scaled back. So it's been hard to, you know, it's hard to advocate on an issue with a moving target, or if the information isn't quite clear. And that's made our job, I know, a little bit more difficult. I want to change gears for the last question for you, Reshma, the issue of caregiving. As you know, support for family caregivers is a huge priority for us at AARP. We've talked a lot about it on this show for 3 years now. What's the status of the federal tax legislation, particularly provisions that AARP is supporting that would provide a tax credit for family caregivers?
Absolutely. And you know, this is a great question, because I feel like caregiving is one of those issues that affects every single American, but I think it's not talked about as much as it should be. You know, a lot of us just take care of our parents or our loved ones because we love them, and you know, it's part of who we are and what we do, without really necessarily thinking about it as an advocacy issue. But it really is. Getting a federal tax credit for working family caregivers is a top priority for AARP, and we are working hard to get it across the finish line. So just last month in March, we took a big step toward that goal with the introduction of the Credit for Caring Act in both houses of Congress. The bill is both bicameral, meaning in the Senate and the House, and bipartisan. So in the Senate, we have Senator Capito from West Virginia and Senator Bennett from Colorado. In the House, we have Representatives Kerry from Ohio and Linda Sanchez from California. And so this bill, the Credit for Caring Act, will give eligible family caregivers up to a $5,000 federal tax credit. And that'll help, you know, offset a lot of their expenses. I think we all know that caregivers spend a lot of their own money out of pocket to care for their loved ones. The average is around $7,200 a year. So this bill providing up to $5,000 tax credit will hopefully provide some much needed financial relief. And again, just like Social Security, caregiving, our research has shown that it is a popular issue across the board. 84% of Republican voters, 87% of Democratic voters support a tax credit for family caregivers. And those numbers are really stunning. I mean, what other issue has that high level of support across the political spectrum nowadays, right? And it really reflects the relevance that caregiving has for a wide swath of Americans. So we're really excited with this bill introduction. We're trying to get more co-sponsors. Actually, just last week, sort of breaking news, we had Representative Deborah Ross from North Carolina become a co-sponsor. So that's wonderful news. And we're just mobilizing to get this across the finish line.
Thank you for sharing that update. And we're looking forward to seeing how things wind up working out with the rest of our congressional delegation. And of course, on the Senate side, too, we know Senator Tom Tillis very well on the caregiving issue is very strong. And so we're looking forward to his support on this issue as well down the road. Reshma, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing the updates and insights as you see them there. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. And of course, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike. It's always fun.
Well, thank you to Reshma Mehta for being our guest. Thank you to Mike Davis for post-production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.